As you know, in the last few years, the issue of fatal police shootings of black Americans is getting a lot more attention. Police training is seen as one of the answers. But is it? Joseph Cesario is an associate professor in the Department of Psychology at Michigan State University, and he's done some research on this issue. He recently wrote a piece about this for The Conversation. So in the article, you write that implicit bias training is usually what people turn to, departments turn to, as a way to help change the beliefs that officers have about minorities. The goal is to reduce this racial disparity of cops shooting black people. But there are assumptions underlying those interventions. But you ask, are the assumptions underlying those interventions reasonable? Why wouldn't they be?
The one reason why they might not be reasonable, and this is what got us started on this research, was that the beliefs that people have about the broader nature of fatal police shootings are actually incorrect, okay, or are at the very least not representative of police shootings in general. So as we hear more and more about police shootings, and as the media has done a good job of reporting on these events, these very important events more and more, what's happened is that only one kind of police shooting has been being reported on. And we were concerned that this was giving people actually an incorrect impression of what all police shootings were like or what the majority of police shootings were like. And so if you look, nearly all of the nationwide reporting on officer-involved shootings concern generally black males, okay, young black males being shot by the police. And that's absolutely an important thing. There's no question about that. But as we were able to look in more detail at the data nationwide, what we found was that the kinds of shootings that were being reported on were a very small proportion of actual police shootings, of actual fatal police shootings. And so interventions such as implicit bias training make sense if that's what all of those shootings are like. But in fact, when we looked at the data, we found that the police shootings were very different than what people thought they were. And because of that, training like implicit bias training, we think, is not going to do much.
Well, you note that black Americans make up about 13% of the population, but make up over 30% of the people fatally shot by the police. So you would think, well, that's disproportionately high. What lies behind that if it's not implicit bias?
Sure. Like a lot of these kinds of disparities that we see, people see that disparity at the population level and make the assumption then that what the cause of that is that someone is making a bad decision, right? That officers are biased, that if you look at school suspension rates, that teachers are biased, okay, and that is what's causing that population level disparity. What we found is for fatal police shootings, what accounts for that population disparity is actually encounters with the police. Okay. And so once you control for how much exposure different racial groups have with the police in violent crime contexts, that racial disparity disappears. And so our argument was that it actually is less likely that it's about a biased decision on the part of the police officer and more likely that it's a pure contact issue, that there's just greater rates of contact across different racial groups with the police.
Well, I want to understand this a little better because, you know, what you're saying kind of sounds like a very uncomfortable premise, the idea that black people are just more likely to be involved in criminal activities. Is that what your study suggests?
Well, let's take two things before – let's answer that in two ways. The first way is to recognize that for any racial group, violent crime is extraordinarily low. Okay. And so if you look at something like murder, non-negligent manslaughter rates, even if you look at broad violent crime, those numbers are very, very low, meaning that for any racial group at all, regardless of what the racial group is, it's highly unlikely that you're going to encounter someone from that group who would do something like kill you, okay, or commit murder, right? So the overall rates are very, very low across groups, meaning that the far majority of people of any racial group do not commit violent crime. They don't commit homicide. They don't commit non-negligent manslaughter and so on. So that's the first point to recognize. And people often get tripped up on that and say, oh, you're saying all of this group are like this. Not at all, actually. If anything, almost all of every group is not a violent criminal. Okay. That said, then, if you look at among the small number of people who do things like commit murder or non-negligent manslaughter or violent crime. There are racial group differences in crime rates across those groups, and they follow actually what the racial group patterning is for being shot by the police. So Asian Americans are the least likely to be shot by the police, okay, also have the lowest violent crime rates, then followed by whites, Hispanics, and then blacks. And for all of that, it's almost always men. Okay, and that is also another way to think of this. If you look at the data in the data sets that we analyzed, in terms of sex, men are about 24 times more likely to be fatally shot by the police than women. Okay, so 24 times more likely. Just to give you a sense of the magnitude of that, in our data, on a per capita level, Black Americans are about 3 times more likely to be shot than white Americans. Okay, so the sex disparity is massive there, 24 times more likely. Okay, however, it's also the case that males are also massively more likely to be violent criminals and to be involved in violent crime situations, and that also accounts for that disparity.
Do you take into account things like more African Americans live in poverty and more poverty means more desperation and things like that? Do you take into account the things that Black males in Detroit complain about a lot, and that is walking while Black, you're suddenly pulled over by the police for no apparent reason? You know, if you're looking for trouble from the Black male population, you're going to be more likely to find it.
Yeah, so that's a great question. And let me give you two answers to that. One is that the data that we analyze are strictly concerning fatal police shootings. No other level of use of force, so or any other kind of discretionary policing. That's really important because in a lot of data, what you find is very clear racial disparities, even controlling for crime rates, for all kinds of use of force. Taser use, all kinds of discretionary policing behaviors, you can find those racial disparities. What we find and what other people have found as well, though, is that that doesn't apply then once you get to deadly force. So that deadly force is actually a different kind of decision, and it's a different kind of use of force than other less lethal methods of force. So that's one important point when you bring up the idea of driving while Black or something like that. That's a completely separate kind of policing behavior. Okay. With respect to whether we were able to look at something like socioeconomic status, in our data, we don't have that. But it's perfectly possible, actually, that socioeconomic status accounts for all of these things. And what we're really picking up on are differences in crime rates across socioeoconomic levels, and that race happens to correspond with that. We can't rule that out, and that's certainly a very likely possibility. We raise that possibility as well. It's that what we have and what we can look at are racial statistics, and in part, you know, that's what everybody's interested in. That's what we talk about.
So in response to many of these police shootings, there have been measures like the implicit bias that we talked about, the implicit bias training, body cameras. What does your research say about these measures as effective interventions in reducing police shootings of Black people?
Sure. So police shootings of all kinds for any racial group, police shootings over the last 3 years, which are the only years that we have good data on this question, have remained remarkably stable. Now, that's not to say that certain departments aren't decreasing in their numbers and other departments may be increasing in their numbers. But at a nationwide level, there's been very, very little movement in the number of individuals fatally shot by the police. When we look at the data and we look at the relation between violent crime situations and fatal police shootings, what that suggests is that something like implicit bias training is going to have very little effect on those behaviors. And that is because when you look at the data, the bulk of fatal police shootings involved people who have an active, ongoing, immediate threat either to an officer or to another citizen. Now, just to be clear, that's not to say that all situations are like that. And certainly the ones that aren't like that are the most important ones, right? The case of of Stephen Clark in Sacramento, take case after case after case where someone has been doing literally nothing and has been shot by the police. Those are really important.
We should note that your study did not come to a definitive conclusion about police shootings of unarmed black people.
That's right. So, and the reason for that is that the number of individuals, white or black, who are shot by the police while unarmed is very small each year. And so we just can't draw reliable conclusions from such small numbers.
So is there any chance those kinds of shootings might be influenced by bias?
That very well could be. And that is the kind of shooting that also could be impacted by something like implicit bias training. So implicit bias training like that may move the needle on those types of shootings. However, it is not going to move the needle on the bulk number of shootings, because those kinds of shootings of unarmed individuals who aren't, you know, let's say punching an officer in the face or something while they're shot, they're very, very small numbers. And so the idea behind implicit bias training being that all officers are biased and they show bias, and that the reason why we see these population disparities is due to that bias, that does not seem to be supported by our data.
So what is the big takeaway? What is the conclusion, and what else needs to be studied?
One big takeaway is something that is generally lost in, I think, in these kinds of discussions. Again, if you're looking at the bulk of fatal police shootings, the thing that would reduce those shootings the most is simply to reduce violent crime, and especially to reduce firearm violence. Those are the situations in which officers are discharging their weapons, by and large. Just to repeat, not to undermine the importance of the shootings of unarmed individuals in the least. They're very, very important. But moving the needle on fatal police shootings the most would happen by a reduction in people carrying firearms and using firearms illegally. That will make up the bulk of fatal police shootings. The second thing is, with regard to those situations where you do have an individual officer who shoots an unarmed individual, and it might reasonably be the case that bias, racial bias, has played a role in that decision, what we really need to do is to identify those officers, be able to measure and assess reliably the amount of racial bias that an officer has, understand why that officer is showing that bias, and then do some targeted training for those officers. And that is not what's being done currently. That's a much more difficult thing to do. It's much easier to give implicit bias lectures to entire departments all at once. But I don't think that that's really going to be so helpful, as opposed to really finding out and figuring out why it is that one or another officer might show such bias.
The article in The Conversation is A New Look at Racial Disparities in Police Use of Deadly Force. The author is Joseph Cesario at Michigan State University. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much, Lester. I really appreciate the opportunity.
After the interview, Cesario and I got talking, and he made the point that there's this misperception that cops who are white are the ones more likely to shoot black people.
We do have data on this question, and actually there's no effect of officer race on whether they are more likely to shoot white or black citizens. Hmm. So black officers are just as likely as white officers to shoot black American citizens.